to this special SearchSecurity.com Data Protection Security School podcast sponsored by Vormetric. I'm Eric Perizzo, and it's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we're going to engage in some fact or fiction, focusing on the pros and cons of database encryption methods. Joining me today to divide the myths from the mantras is Tom Bowers, a technical editor with Information Security Magazine, as well as the managing director of independent think tank and industry analyst group, Security Constructs. Thanks for being here with us, Tom.
It's my pleasure as always. Thank you.
Okay, Tom, you've done this many times, but let me tell the listeners how this works. I'll read a statement, and you'll tell me if that statement is fact or fiction, and then explain why. So let's get started with the first one. Fact or fiction, a strategic benefit of database encryption is that it meets regulatory compliance requirements.
That is indeed true. That's a fact. In the short version of it, you look at things like the privacy legislation. There are, at last count, at least 38 states with privacy legislation. All of them have, in some form or another, the language slightly different, but all of them say if the information is encrypted, when a breach occurs, there is no duty to notify. You have other regulations like the PCI for the credit card industry, the FFIEC for financial industry, FERPA, which is almost identical to the FFIEC, but for public education. All of them have specific information in there about encryption. The other obvious advantage of encrypting a database is not just compliance, although that certainly seems to be a big driver nowadays, but it certainly provides data protection or protecting content as well.
Okay, Tom, here's the next one. Fact or fiction, database encryption prevents data from being deleted?
Unfortunately, that's fiction. If you think about it from the bad guy's point of view, they've broken into a database server that's internet-facing. They can't read the information, but they still want to be malicious. Well, it's no big problem to delete that data. As far as modifying data, that's a little more interesting. The encryption doesn't protect you from modifying the data. However, the encryption process, the encryption software, may well provide an audit trail. The other big picture item here that our listeners have to remember, keep in mind, is that access controls are really central to this whole encryption process. The very first product that I ever reviewed and broke, actually, was the first generation of IBM encryption chip. This has probably been 5 years ago or so. And it wasn't the encryption chip itself that I broke. It was on a laptop. We were evaluating it for possible inclusion. And I basically used a simple disk editor to do a search on the username and the password. So I actually did a search for passwd, the phrase passwd, with a disk editor, and found four instances where it said, here's the username that had been assigned, and password equals. So I had four instances of both the username and the password right there. Well, now I have the username and password. I can now log in as that user, and so the encryption no longer is a viable protection. The other thing, obviously, that this leads to is that it's difficult to protect a database, encrypted or not, from your administrators. They're the folks that already have the keys to the kingdom, so there's a whole process you need to be concerned about as far as protecting from your administrator, potentially using security zones where some administrators have access to other parts of a database than others. You have an independent security administrator, but even, once again, you have to trust those administrators. So there are bigger pictures here that to be concerned with, just not deletion or modification.
Okay, here's statement number three. Fact or fiction, database encryption key management is an easier process than most people think.
Fiction. Big red letters, big flashing signs. If I were to point to one weakness, one major glaring weakness, this is probably it. It's the whole process of key management. You've got several different layers of keys that you have to be concerned about. Certainly, first and foremost, is the key construction. How many numbers must it have? Must it have characters? Must it have upper and lower case? Can you repeat characters? So there's the whole key construction that you not only have to set up by policy, both from a technology standpoint, but you have to be able to audit and make sure that people are following those things. Then you've got the key provisioning, and this is probably the biggest area where I see problems, is do I get the right key at the right time? So I'm an authorized user. I use my username and password to log on. The background, the system is supposed to give me the right key to log on to that particular table or field of content at the right time, and it doesn't, because either the key provisioning system can't keep up, it's too slow, it gets confused, there's a breakdown between the access control, let's assume you're using something like an LDAP for your user management, and so there's a breakdown between the user management and the key provisioning system. There are a number of areas. This leads directly into part number two of this problem, which is key integrity. In other words, is that key corrupted? Is you've gotten supposedly the right key at the right time, but the key got corrupted either in transit or in the key database, what have you. In many cases, the keys themselves are in an encrypted, separate encrypted database. Did the encryption-decryption happen correctly? So key integrity can be a big problem. So now you've got this problem, the key provisioning and or the key integrity fails. Well, now you've got a primary key failure. How quickly can you get the backup key? What does the backup system look like? Is it tape? Is it online? Is it highly available? Is it fault tolerant? So there are a lot of layers here for key management that can create some real heartache and probably the biggest failure that I've seen. And think of this in bigger terms. If it happens, you're in the office and you're trying to get into a Word document. For the most part, that's probably not a huge business impact. Well, now think about you've got an outsourced business partner, or you've got an senior executive trying to get onto a critical piece of data to do a merger and acquisition. Now they can't get into our key. Now you're stopping business from happening. So this can be a really major problem here. It's not just a technology problem. It can have direct business impacts.
So Tom, with key management on top of the other issues you mentioned earlier, it seems like the cons strongly outweigh the pros when it comes to database encryption. Do we need to continue this podcast, or should we stop right here?
You know, that's a really legitimate question. You have to look at those two pros. One is it brings you in compliance with regulations. That's huge nowadays. We all know that in the security business, compliance and regulations is really driving a lot of security spending. And it does provide protection for data at rest. So this data encryption, even though it has a number of drawbacks, it provides a quick and dirty way to meet your regulatory requirements. It's not terribly expensive in the big scheme of things, and it does provide you with some level of data or content protection, specifically data at rest. So if you use data encryption as a layer of a more comprehensive database security system, then it's a very good thing. So the obvious question is, what is that comprehensive data security system? In other words, you have to have it as part of, you have to have good access controls, we've already mentioned that. You have to have very, very solid access controls. You have to look at doing intrusion detection or intrusion prevention on your database, and you have to have very, very good auditing controls. If database encryption is part of this holistic system, then it can become a very powerful ally. But just realize that, you know, there are some challenges here. As long as it's part of this holistic system, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Okay, Tom, we'll carry on then, and we'll get into the specifics now of different encryption techniques. Fact or fiction, with full database encryption, all the data within a database is protected?
That is absolutely a fact, but there are a number of drawbacks, things that you may or may not normally consider. The first one is, and if you remember the slightly older generation of encryption chips, or software-based encryption on desktops. Most of our listeners have used that type of software. And if you started opening up a lot of applications, you started seeing your machine slow down. Well, now let's scale that out to a large enterprise-class database. Now you've got millions or billions of fields and columns and data points in this database. You're really going to begin to slow down your processor. You're really going to take a performance hit here. The other part of this are the index files. A lot of folks tend to forget this. Index files are really what make databases very business user friendly, because the databases exist to make or to provide data quickly for the business. It happens because of these index files. The index files basically act as pointers. Think of a table of contents, if you will, in a dictionary. A lot of information in a dictionary, but the table of contents helps you get to that information quickly. Encrypting the index files provides two major problems. One, index files are typically sorted, let's say, by alphabet. So A to Z, if you will. Well, if you encrypt it, now becomes a hexadecimal value. Well, how are you going to sort the index file? You're going to have to sort based on hexadecimal value versus the actual plain text of that unencrypted index value. So now your sorting is all wrong, number one. Number two, the encryption and decryption of the index file is going to make a major hit on performance. You're going to have a lot of problems there, and you're going to run a risk of what happens if the index file itself becomes corrupted. Is that, you know, is it recoverable? Can you have a backup available? So there are a lot of problems here with the index file. So essentially what I'm saying or what I'm proposing is you really can't encrypt index files, if no other reason than just the sorting problem. You really can't encrypt index files correctly. And now you have to balance, does this open up a large security hole? Because the index, remember, points to where the data is. Even though the data is encrypted, the index tells me this particular type of data is in this column. Even though that column is now encrypted, I've given myself a better opportunity potentially for breaking it down. Lastly is disk space. Encrypted files take up a lot more disk space than unencrypted ones do. You're converting, let's say, a 4-bit data field into an 8-bit encrypted data field. So you're going to double the size of your database. So yes, it's a good thing, but there are some real problems here. You do provide protection, but there are some downsides to look at.
Moving on now, fact or fiction, field or column encryption is far less processor efficient than full database encryption.
Obviously, that's fiction. Based on what I just discussed with full database encryption, if I only encrypt a field or a column is very, very prevalent right now. It's far more processor efficient, mainly because there are smaller pieces of data that have to be encrypted or decrypted. The other part of it is that most of the data remains unencrypted. So you've got, let's say, a column that's credit card numbers or a column that's social security numbers in your HR database. You only have to encrypt that column. All the other information, such as the employee's name, it doesn't necessarily need to be encrypted. So the majority of the information remains unencrypted. However, there are some business process things to be concerned about here as well. First of all, you have to manually go in and make a business decision as to what columns or fields need to be encrypted. That can be a tedious process. Each column, row, or field must be evaluated on its individual merits as to whether or not it must be encrypted. And you have to look at it not just as the field, but the example I just gave of a social security number and a username or an employee name, well, maybe you want to encrypt both the last name of a person and the social security number. Because if I only do the last name or only do the social security number, if they have the last name and an address, that still may be enough information to be personally identifiable. So you have to look at the combinations of columns, not just the columns themselves. So it becomes a business process that you're going to have to go through and do. From a technology standpoint, much, much more efficient, very smooth. They call it nowadays transparent encryption, because it really is on the fly. You really don't see a lot of load here.
Tom, quick follow-up question for you. Assuming an organization can figure out which columns it wants to encrypt without being too tedious, does it make sense to go that route? Does it take care of as many regulatory requirements as full database encryption might?
Certainly, let's go back to just the privacy legislation alone. The privacy legislation is all about personally identifiable information. So, yes, I could solve that by encrypting the entire database. Or I could resolve that by just encrypting, let's say, the Social Security number, the last name, and the associated credit card number. The address is still there, the first name is still there, but is that enough to be personally identifiable? Yeah, probably not, but that's going to be the business decision that's going to have to be made. If you go down that route, however, you end up with the best of both worlds. You've met regulatory requirements, you've also provided data protection or content protection, and you've made the process very processor efficient. So the database is not going to be as large, you're not going to load down the processor as much, so it's a good thing. I do believe you could meet both of them, and a lot of the big database companies are doing exactly that. They're coming out of the box with field or column encryption specifically to help you meet those requirements.
Okay, Tom, here's the last one. Fact or fiction, appliance-based encryption offers more flexibility in choosing full database or file-based encryption schemas?
That's a fact. The appliance is interesting because it offloads the processor load to a dedicated appliance. Again, if we look at the desktop equivalent, most people nowadays finally realize that if you buy a business class computer for one of the major vendors, it's going to have an encryption chip built onto the motherboard with no added cost to the end user or the corporation. This is doing the same thing, just doing it from a network standpoint. So on the network, there is an appliance. Now, I use the term appliance here in a softer base. This could be software-based appliance. In other words, you build a server, you load the dedicated software on it, you point it to the database, or it could be a Linux-based appliance. So appliances here is a broader term. That's a really good thing. It offloads all of that. So now I could do full database encryption and alleviate the big processor performance concern that I had before. The other side, however, is you still got the downside, and that is you still got to do key management. And you still have to do backups. Let's assume that you're going to do a tape backup of your database. Well, must you have that appliance in place in order to do a restore of that backup database? You know, so if the appliance goes down or 5 years from now you've changed vendors, how long do you have to keep that appliance because you've changed encryption vendors or changed database encryption vendors? So there are some downsides here. You also would require, because of that, a failover and or high availability solution for the appliance. So in order to ensure that that appliance never goes down or you got something to immediately go back to, you're going to have to think of a broader architecture now, which is the high availability and or failover and or backup of that particular solution. So again, I'm actually very much in favor of an appliance-based solution, but there are bigger pictures to be concerned about here.
All right, Tom, we are almost out of time. So quickly, taking a look at the three methods you touched on, full database encryption, column or field-level encryption, and appliance encryption, can you throw out an example usage scenario or business situation for each one?
Sure. For things like full encryption, the easiest place and the place we've seen in the news, unfortunately, like card systems, the MasterCard vendor that eventually went out of business last year, their internet-faced database was attached to a web server. Well, had that database been encrypted in total, it would have been protected. In that particular case, the privacy laws once again say if the data is encrypted when that server is breached, there'd be no public reason, there'd be no need to. So the next obvious one is the field or column level encryption. I would certainly see this for internal business operations containing personal identifiable information, let's say. It's very efficient, it's transparent, and allows the best of both worlds again. I'm not quite personally as comfortable putting it externally facing, but certainly you could. I would definitely see it, though, for business-critical information internally. I would take the next step for the appliance-based encryption. That is where I would see, for high-volume, fast-action, or fast-access databases, places where they're business-critical. You've got manufacturing data, real-time manufacturing data. You've got very large high-end enterprise. You've got things like finance and accounting where a lot of information is being entered. I would certainly see that as a good fit for appliances. So, there are definitely business cases for all three.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Tom Bowers of Information Security Magazine and Security Constructs, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you.
For more materials in our Data Protection Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/data protection. And you can find more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks once again to our sponsor, Vormetric, and thanks to you for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.